Blog Talk Radio.
That time again, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Friday night, cold on the East Coast. And this is JT. I'm the co-host of the No Chaser Show. I'm looking for my host.
Come right here.
And
I'm here.
Okay, no problem.
I'm here.
Well, just hold on. Let me finish what I was going to say. Oh, man. You're in a feisty way to go.
I'm looking for him. I was like, hey, look, hey.
Wait, but I was going to say,
okay.
I said I was looking for my host, and he happens to be right where I thought he would be, right on time. And without further ado, let me introduce you to the host of No Chaser. It happens to be Mac Williams. Welcome, my brother, on a Friday night.
What's up, man? I am here. I thought you couldn't hear me or something. I thought I was on mute. I thought I was hearing you, and I was like, he can't hear me. I can't find me. I'm like, what?
No.
So I kind of jumped out there like, what the heck?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm here. How's your week been, my brother?
Not bad. Yourself?
Great.
How's your employment?
I like my job. I like
okay.
it a lot.
It
I tell you what, I definitely have my youth renewed, and I laugh a lot throughout the day, and at the same time, I shake my head a lot during the day and just go, Lord, help me. I am a dedicated aide at a high school.
Okay.
Here in Maryland.
Right.
And what happens is there are certain students with certain needs, special
right.
needs,
right.
That need you to go around and help them, like, take notes on their class or make sure they get their homework. You know, you're just there to help them whatever they need, and you follow them from class to class. So basically, I am back in high school again.
Oh.
I go to the same classes. I sit through the classes. It's woo, you talking about somebody, man, I like it, but at the same time, I learned a lot about the crazy stuff we used to do, how we used to think, and it's just like, oh, God, you guys have no idea what's coming.
Eye-opening
yes,
experience.
It's eye-opening, but I'll be honest with you, I probably laugh at things I shouldn't laugh at more throughout the day, but it's just they say the funniest stuff. High schoolers just say the funniest stuff, man. They're just
mm-hmm.
straight clowns. Went to my first PE class in years. And ended up playing basketball with a whole bunch of 9th and 10th graders, which was hilarious. That was an experience. I told them I don't know if I'm ever going to get me out there again and do that one. So I was like, but I had fun. I had fun with it, but I was just like, okay, you know. And, you know, they call you old man, and then you get in your feelings a little bit like, really? Oh, really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of fun, and I like the job. Smart kids just have the child that I do is he is legally blind. He can still see, but he can't see peripherally, and he can pretty much see to a point, but he can't
right.
see distances or anything like that. But smart
right.
kid
mm-hmm.
and very entertaining kid. Smart kid, knows his stuff, but it's a lot of fun, man. And I mean, who can say that every day you get to go back to high school every day and see the subjects you missed. You know, I have a joke, one running joke that now I call the algebra teacher, I call him the French teacher. And everybody, you know, said, well, why are you calling him the French teacher? I said, because everything he's saying is strictly French to me. I don't understand a damn word he's saying. And the kids just bust out laughing. I was just like, I can't understand nothing he said. And he even laughs. You know, he goes like, no, you got to spend time in here. You'll learn. I was like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot of fun, and I love it. So I can't complain. God has given me a very good job and put it in my hands, and I take it very seriously. But at the same time, I have a lot of fun. So
Okay. I think we have just got our guest calling in.
Okay. All right.
And
is he there? Let's see. Hello?
Caller from the 240. Welcome to the No Chaser Show. Who are we speaking to?
Hello?
Hello? Caller from the 240? This happens to be Bradford Smith. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Oh, he just hung up. Maybe he'll call back.
All right, let me
copy this number down real quick.
Yeah, I was about to say, let me see if I can make sure I text him and see. Let's see if I can get that. Let me see
if he'll call back, whoever he is.
There was a 240 number. This one. Oh, you know what?
What's that?
The 240 number was probably a listener. Here's a 757.
Oh, okay.
757. So.
Okay, no problem. No problem.
I got it. Okay.
No problem. His starts with a 757?
Yeah, I think that's what it starts with. It starts with a 757. So.
Okay. He must be from Virginia.
Yeah, I think so.
That is a Virginia area code, so.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me see what I can do. But anyway, the week has been a great week. And I, you know, had a very good week. But like I said, in this week I've learned a lot, man. I just learned a lot. Like, I learned how much stuff I don't know by going to high school. I mean, I learned a lot. Different
mm-hmm.
stuff, science, biology,
mm-hmm.
things that I took and I've forgotten. Like, oh, I forgot what that was about. Well, mm-hmm. I forgot about that was. But I think the biggest lesson, that I learned is that the kids right now, and I look back at us when we were in high school, and they really don't understand what's coming, like what life really, really is. Like, hey, look, this ain't no joke. Like, this is, you know.
So, exactly.
I mean, like I said, but that's more or less what I'm learning right now. They just have no, you know, idea at all what's going on. So, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, you're anxious to see the game, I'm pretty sure, tomorrow, Super Bowl game.
Oh, yeah.
On Sunday, I mean, I should have said tomorrow, Sunday.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to, forward to seeing that, that game tomorrow. So, I'm pretty much, at first it was a toss-up, let me say that. And then as the week went on and, you know, Randy Moss decided to open up his mouth, I said, you know what, I'm going for the Ravens. I said, because that was a dumb statement you made. I know it's kind of silly to say that, but that's really how I felt. Like, you're an idiot. I mean, to sit and say that you think you're the best wide receiver of all time, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean,
right.
I respect your swag. But, you know, and you're supposed to think you're one of the – I mean, I could have lived with if he said, I'm one of the best all time. I think I'm one of the best all time. I probably
mm-hmm.
just said, okay, I can't – you know, I can't begrudge you that, you know.
Right.
I mean, but when you say things – but when you say things – hold on one second. Hold on. Where the heck is he at? Oh, I see what happened. I think Bradford is in a different time zone. That's what I just realized.
Okay.
See, I think he's in California. Because I think on Sunday he is at the, what's Sunday? Is Sunday the Grammy Award? Not Grammy Awards. It's something. Whatever it is, it's some kind of award show, and that's where he's at. He's going
right,
to be at.
Right now, because I'm looking on Facebook, it looks like the NAACP Image Awards are taking place today, tonight.
That might be either, no, it's something on Sunday, and I can't remember what Sunday. It's either, because, let's see, what is it? Today is the 1st, 2nd, 3rd. I can't remember what it is that's supposed to be on Sunday, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just told him to call in now. So I think what happened was I think he was on a different time zone. I'm thinking he's here, and maybe he's out in California, and that's a 3-hour time difference.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I think that's what might have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me make sure. I love our show. We always, you never know what you're gonna get. You're gonna get all kind of stuff. All right.
Straight unadulterated.
Yes, it is. But anyway, okay, I said that. All right. So anyway, well, you know, for me, like I said, I just feel like Jerry Rice is the best, hands down. I don't think it's even a contest. I don't even know why it's even a debate.
No
when
contest.
When you look at the records, I mean, we don't even have to talk about the, you know, I guess what I'm saying is when you look at, we're not even talking about records. I mean, when you count Super Bowls, to me, and this brings up a good point that I wanted to say, is that for all those fans out there who listen to the show or who are sports fans or consider themselves knowledgeable for sports fans, to me, I think that a person should be judged on their – I think players should be judged on their total body of work, their whole career, not just on this thing, that thing, because I don't think – I've never thought that a player, because he won – 5 Super Bowls or won a Super Bowl made him automatically a great guy or whatever your opinion is of that person.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a whole, it takes a whole body of work. You have to look at the whole body. And I think that's what they do even when they do Hall of Fames. I think they look at the whole body of work. It's not just one thing. Fans seem to always think that, you know, it's always,
okay,
always, you know.
I think we do have our caller coming in here now.
757?
347.
That's fine. Bring him in. That's probably him.
Caller from the 347, welcome to the No Chaser Show. This happens to be Bradford Jazzy Smith.
Yeah, this is he. How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up, Bradford? Hey, man, you in another time zone, ain't you?
No, I'm actually on the East Coast. I'm actually on the East Coast.
Oh, okay. Did you? Okay, because when you hit me, you was like, it says 7:07. Did I? You know what I did? It was supposed to be 6:55. That's my bad. You know what? It's my fault. You know, I just realized what I put. I looked at my text. What I did, Jerry, is I told him to call at 7:55 instead of 6:55.
So you would have cut the man short, only give him 5 minutes.
Man,
I would have
5 minutes to talk. Jesus Christ.
That's all right.
I apologize for that, Bradford, man. I really do. It's like a busy week, man, and I just totally flubbed out. When I usually pretty good about that, but I was like, well, okay, I got him here, 6-something, you know, 7. I just realized, and then I thought, and then I told Jerry, I said, well, Jerry, he might be on the West Coast. Maybe he's just thinking, you know, and now it just hit me when you text me, like, say 7:55, I went like, oh, shoot.
Yeah,
so,
I sent you what you texted me.
Yes, you did. Yes,
mm-hmm.
you did. Yes, you did. That's my fault. That's on me. But good to have you, brother. Sorry to flub it up for you, but tonight's guest is Bradford Jazzy Smith, and I hope I say this right, CEO, the Don of Dreamer Management, and is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. CEO of Dreamer Management, yep.
Okay. One of the reasons why I invited you on is, you know, you post some on Facebook, but not that much, but I always notice you're in the entertainment field, the entertainment industry. And being the fact that we're a show that, you know, it's called No Chaser, we interview all kind of guests. And one of the things I wanted to do is bring you in because I wanted you to be able to speak to one of the things I like to do on my show is I like to inform people of not only bring guests on that are interested and are doing things, but kind of showing people, giving people a vision, what they can become, what they, you know, things to look at. Because sometimes if you don't give a person a vision, they'll never see it. And I've always watched you from afar. I saw that you're in the entertainment business. You're always doing something, and you always have different artists and things like that. So, you know, first I want to say welcome to the show. And can you give us a little, tell us, you know, about the company, when it started, you know, how you started it or what have you, and then we'll kind of go from there. Me and Jerry will kind of ask questions and things like that. But we really want to find out what you got, what you're really about, and what you know, how you made your dreams come to pass.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I want to say thanks, you guys, for letting me come on to the show. You know, I know you have several different guests, and this is a great opportunity for me to share what I do and, you know, what we do at Dreamer Management. And we're always about elevating others and giving people an opportunity. So I think this is a great platform to do that for our people.
Oh, appreciate it, man. Glad to have you.
But basically, Dreamer Management is a management company that focuses on representation of talent. We work with recording artists, models, and entertainers, and specifically entertainment relates to television, film, theater. But most of our exposure and work has been involved with recording artists and the music industry. And we have a roster right now of about six recording artists, some based in Chicago, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Ohio. And we recently picked up a team of beat makers and producers called the Starship Clan.
Wow.
But we're keeping ourselves pretty busy. Dreamer Management started out in 2008 under the name For Real Talent. And as time went on, we learned more about the industry, and we decided that we need to change our image and change the footprint of the company. So we rebranded it from For Real Talent to Dreamer Management.
Okay.
So some people might be familiar with us as For Real Talent, but we're now Dreamer Management.
Okay, great.
What we try to do is work with the small guys, the people that are really ready to take their business to the next level. And we do refer to artists as business people because, you know, it is, even though they're working in the talent industry, they still have to have some type of business structure. They still have to make sure that their contracts are in place, their booking agreements are in place, they have the proper copyrights and publishing, those type of things. So that's what Dreamer Management is there for. And we also offer some guidance, you know, for those entertainers, what the next level is, and also what they need to do to take their career to a point where they are getting recognition from their peers and from their community.
Wow. Okay. Now, let me ask this question. How did you get started in this business? I mean, how did you yourself, how did you, like, come up with the concept? I mean, did it start as a kid? You know, you always had this dream? Or, I mean, how did you get to this point? I mean, where did it really start from?
Well, it was kind of interesting. I kind of stumbled across the situation. I've always had a love for music as a kid. Like, I was, you know, I had a piano, and I learned how to play by ear. And I joined the band, and I used to play the French horn and in the brass section. And I went to college, and I played in the band and also sung in the choir as a kid. But my original profession was IT, information technology.
Get out of here.
And I had a cousin who actually pursued the entertainment industry. And, you know, because I have computer savvy, he needed a graphic designer. So when you talk about computers, they think, okay, anything that has to do with a computer, you know.
Right,
so
exactly.
He was like, can you design a flyer for me? We got this new artist coming to Virginia Beach named Akon, and not too many people know about him, and so we need to promote and you know, get the word out that he's coming in town for this show, this performance. So I said sure, and so I got graphics from his representation, his management, and we did the flyers and sent them to the radio station. The radio station advertised it, whatever. So that was the first favor. And I actually got a chance to meet Akon at that point, and he was kind of impressed with the work that I did, and he took pictures, and he said, you know, keep in contact, you know, that type of thing.
Right. Okay.
So that was the first phase. And my cousin called me back, you know, later on down the road, and he was like, hey, we got this artist. He's the brother of of Nicole Ray. His name was Kenny Ray, and we put him through development. We need to do an album cover and do a photo shoot, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and so I had a camera, so they tasked with me actually doing the photo shoot and designing the album cover. So I did that, and they was fairly impressed. And so I was living in Tidewater area at this time, so I moved to D.C. and met a friend who was kind of into promotions, and they would have hire these celebrities to come out and make club appearances. And I was always in the background. I got a chance to meet the celebrities and kind of figure out what a writer was, what the booking agreement was, you saw them making arrangements as far as the travel. So I always caught wind of all this stuff. So I saw myself, like, constantly getting exposed to this stuff. So I said, wait a minute. Something's up with this. You know, I think this is pretty cool. I think I want to get involved with this and maybe start a business. So that friend and I started a company for real talent, which later became Dreamer Management. So, yeah.
So all this kind of stumbled upon, so it wasn't something that was like, okay, I worked this from the beginning. You kind of stumbled upon it. So that's great.
Exactly.
So did you have any questions, Jerry, at all?
Well, I want his middle name or his nickname is called Jazzy. Where'd that come from?
You know what? There is a story behind that. You know, I was one of those kids in elementary school and even middle school that was, you know, I was really soft-spoken. I didn't really have much of a backbone. I wasn't that popular. But when I went on to college, you know, when you go to college and you go from high school, you get to create a new identity.
Right.
And while I was in college, I got involved with these social fraternities, and that helped kind of build some confidence behind me. And one day I went with one of my social frat guys to a house party. And I, you know, still was a little timid, a little shy. And I walked in the door, and, you know, everybody, you know, come in the door, and people are introducing themselves. And so they asked me what my name was, and I said, my name is Brad. And so they responded, oh, nice to meet you, Jazz. I'm like, no, my name is Brad. Oh, nice to meet you, Jazz. You know, and so all night, everybody called me Jazz. But I told myself from that point on, I would never, ever, ever be soft-spoken or timid again. But I adopted the persona or the name Jazz or Jazzy, and that kind of fits with who I am because I'm still kind of a laid-back, cool guy. I don't get excited. I don't jump up and down and scream and yell, but I'm still Jazz, you know, even when situations are tense and, like, people are ready to throw hands. I'm still cool, calm, collected, you know, easy on the ears,
right.
You know, but still impactful, you know,
exactly.
Like jazz music. So
that's
how I got the name Jazzy or Jazzy.
Okay.
Good question. Good question.
I got another one for you.
Okay.
I see you have two women and three to four other guys that are in your company. Jelani Jones, Kevin Troy, Latasha Burse, Stephanie Swinter, Terrence Parker, McLeod, and William Scott. Tell me briefly about your team.
Well, I'm all about. I learned from a gentleman that's been working in the entertainment industry that it's about what he called the shipping business. You know, relationships, friendships, and so a lot of my business relationships are built on people that I trust. For instance, Jelani Jones, he's kind of one of the founders of the company with me, and we've been friends for quite some time. He's been connected with the entertainment industry with Jennifer Hudson for a while, like kind of mid idol, but pre Dreamgirls. He has gathered a lot of information and education about the entertainment industry, and it helps us a lot. William Scott, he's based out of Atlanta. He's actually an MC, a DJ. He was in the military, so he has that military no-nonsense type of situation. He's a musician. He actually was a big radio personality over in Europe during the time when Usher first came out, when Mary J. Blige first came out, when, you know, back in the Missy Elliott, when Teddy Riley and all of them were really, really big. So he had was very active in the entertainment industry back then. But he didn't get, when he came back to the States, he put that aside. But in the past year and a half, we've been friends for 10 years, but in the past year and a half, I'd invited him to come on because he's still very active in his community as far as music and the entertainment industry down in Atlanta. Natasha, she came on originally as a background vocalist for one of our first artists, and she's kind of grown through the ranks. She's not as active in the company as she used to be, but she's definitely sending, when people inquire about representation or looking for management, or she run across that unique artist, she'll send them our way for us to review and kind of work with them as far as development or see if there's something really, really there. Kevin Troy, he's also one of those individuals that came along originally as a background vocalist. I think Miss Swinton, we met on a production stage for a television show here in D.C. area. So a lot of those situations started out as friendships or interaction, and I told them about our movement, told them about what we had going on, and they actually came and started working with Dreamer Management.
Do you also have a, besides these individuals, do you also have a legal team that you have too that handles all the contracts and legalese that you have to have within a company like this?
Well, no one specifically in the company. We actually have a law firm that we have under retainer.
Right.
So if we have to take things to the next level, then we can consult with our attorney. Our contracts are pre-drafted and structured in a way that we use them, and we really don't do a lot of customization to them, so it's kind of take it the way it is or leave it.
Right, right.
Okay, I got you.
Situation, so that's the structure that we use when it comes to our contracts and our documentation.
Wow. One question I had, and I've been waiting to ask you this probably for a long time because, well, one, I know you're going somewhere. Is it this weekend? Is it Sunday or something? Well, where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you going? I forgot what that was.
Next week, I'll be going to the 55th Grammy Awards in Los Angeles.
That's right. That's where it was. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's what it was, Jerry Day. I knew he was going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking off air, and I was like, I know he's going somewhere. I thought it was this weekend, but I forgot it's next weekend. So.
Yeah.
How long have you been going to the Grammy Awards? And then briefly just tell me that. And then I have a really good question I think all of our listeners would like to ask because it's unique to what you do. So if you could tell me how long have you been going to the Grammy Awards and why do you go? Just for my information.
I think, in any business, you want to let people know that your work is reputable.
Okay.
And the Academy is one of the most respected music organizations in the entertainment music industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we, by being in this business, we're also an advocate for anything that pertains to music and the arts. So our way of getting connected with programs that actually promote music and entertainment was becoming a part of the Grammy Association,
mm-hmm.
and most major cities has a chapter, and
wow.
I really suggest that anyone that is a musician, writer, producer, or anything in the music industry to try to locate the nearest major city and try to find out how they can get involved or join the association.
Wow.
But the reason why we did that is because, we want to be reputable. We want to let people know that we're serious in what we're doing. And we connected with organizations that have a proven track record of success. And what more company than the Grammy Association. So we actually, it's not difficult to join. I mean, anyone can.
Okay.
If you you have to prove that you are actively doing something in the music and entertainment industry. You have to have either publishing or written some stuff to actually join.
Okay.
But once you join, they have different activities throughout the year that you can actually get to meet real producers. Like, we've had the opportunity to meet Chucky Thompson and Ledisi, and a lot of the radio stations are connected with the Grammy Association, like Live Nation and stuff, those people.
Wow.
So by having that membership, sometimes that close-knit community come together and support each other when they have concerts or performances, or even when they're trying to get nominations, because there's a process that you can actually submit your material for to the committee for nomination to even be considered.
Wow.
But that's how we, you know, we've been involved with the Grammy Awards. It's very difficult to get tickets to the show.
I know it is.
It's very difficult to get tickets. You literally have to, the day that the tickets are available, you have to react within minutes that they're available.
Wow.
We've been fortunate to go last year. Last year was very impactful because we were actually in the Beverly Center, which is the nearest mall in Beverly Hills, when we found out that Whitney Houston, you know, we thought it was a rumor. You know how people tweet this stuff on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right.
Whitney Houston dying, we couldn't believe it. So
wow.
I called up my business partner who was there in L.A., and I said, you know, how's our friend, how's our girl? And he was like, I don't know. We're trying to find out if it's true.
Wow.
And so the other people walking around said, yeah, you know, she's dead. So we get in our car, and we're driving through Beverly Hills, and we happen to come right up to the Beverly Hilton where Whitney is staying. And so we were like, we can't believe that she's, you know, she died. So we get out, we park on the side street, get out and run up to the hotel. No one is there. There's no, there's a few television trucks sitting there, and there's maybe one camera guy there, and the private investigator come out to talk about it, and there's really no one there. So we're really like the first people on the scene, and her body is still up in the hotel room, and the Clive Davis party is about to go on. You know, I saw Jimmy Jam came out, and he spoke to us really quickly, and then all of a sudden CNN show up, and E, and
so y'all got there before the madness really kind of started.
We got there before the madness even started. We got a couple good pictures and some video footage of that whole chaos and stuff. We stayed as long as we could. But we knew that that, you know, they were going to do some tribute the next day, and what better person to do it than than Miss Hudson. So
absolutely.
That was very, very, very impactful for us to be there at that moment. So I think it's going to be that same feel this year when we go back, because Whitney's, you know, was so influential to so many people in the industry.
Right.
So I'm excited to see what they're going to do this year.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Thinking about this, I want to ask your opinion, since you are a person in this industry. And I think Jerry would probably say this is a good question. But I want to know, out of these singing shows that are on TV, which one do you like, and which one do you, and what? How do you feel about them, and which one would you say briefly is the one you watch, or is there one you watch or you don't like? But I just want to know what your feelings are about these shows and what you think about it.
Well, you know what? Up until a point, I used to watch them religiously. I say in the past year and a half, maybe 2 years, I've stopped watching them.
Oh, okay.
And it's become convoluted because there's so many of them.
Right.
Like in the past 2 to 3 years, it's just so many of them.
Yeah.
But it works for the entertainment industry, because back in the day when they had A&Rs where these A&Rs would go to churches, they would go to clubs, they would go little small hole in the wall to find talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they would find the talent, then they would send them through development, get them on stage performances, get them ready, and then, you know, they would get them recording projects, and then they get them out to the public and promote them and build their fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since the age of social networking, you know, MySpace and Twitter and Facebook, these record labels have downsized in their development departments, and these singing shows have arrived. They can build fan base instantly.
Wow!
And so that gives those artists, these people on these shows competing, the chance to build a fan base. So by the time they come out with a project, they got a better potential of getting album sales.
That's
they develop some popularity from television.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The labels want you to come with your fan base and your buzz. It's all about numbers. Do you have a large social networking following? Who are your fans? And not just your fans in your hometown. Are you on the other side of the country or around the world?
Wow.
Okay. And since you're talking about artists, tell me about your hot artists and how you go about weeding through the ones that you think have so-called potential and the ones that you'd rather not deal with. Let me put it that way.
That's funny that you said that. We have the belief that once we select an artist, it's pretty much a lifelong commitment to them.
Okay.
We get calls all the time from people seeking representation, and they actually just go online and just Google artist management, and we are flooded with calls. Our voicemail gets filled up often. Some people leave messages where they're actually singing or rapping on the voicemail message.
Okay. Okay. I just want to be heard.
Yeah, just want to be heard. And there's a sense of desperation in some of their voices. But sometimes it's hurtful that we actually have to turn away people because they just don't have it, you know.
Right.
But we've kind of, you know, picked our six artists, and it's like, okay, do we have room for one more? And it's difficult to have to turn people away. But but the ones that we have selected at this point in time, we're looking for additional managers that maybe come in that has talent already, or people that want to come in the industry and to become a manager.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll help us with the workload as far as working with artists. But they're all, even the artists that we have, they're all unique. And we just look for something that's just different, you know, a passion. They have to have a passion for what they do. They shouldn't have any limitations. You know, some people are like, I don't want to stay in this type of hotel, or I'm not driving this far, or I'm not staying up this late. You know, I don't.
So, in other words, they have to have a hunger.
Yes.
Okay.
Have to have a hunger.
I got you.
And Mac, we have Macau on the line. Do you want to bring him in?
Sure. Let Macau come in. Macau is one of our other Bradford. He's one of our other hosts of a show. And he has a very big following also, bigger than mine. And I may want to get you on his show also. Yeah, come on in, Mikhail. Is Mikhail?
Not going to tell me I act like I got some manners today because we got company?
Yeah.
Hi,
how
are you? How are you? I knew I'd get the proper greeting. Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here.
I'm all right, sir. How are you? What's up, Jerry? I didn't get the gentleman's name. How you doing, sir?
Bradford. You can call me Jazzy. You can call me Jazzy.
Jazzy. Okay.
All right.
He happens to be in the entertainment business, Macau.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He's a manager for talent, actors, singers, whatever. Is that correct, Bradford? Did I describe that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Right on
the
nose, yeah.
Okay. One of the questions I did want to ask you also is that I know you don't watch those shows, because the only one I really watch is X Factor, and I do watch Idol, and it's because my wife pretty much watched it, so I pretty much watch it. But I always get into it. But those are the only two I really, really watch. But what I wanted to ask you is, do you think it's good? These shows are good for the artist. I think it's a good thing for the artist, because if you can make it through to a certain level, you're guaranteed an opportunity, better opportunity, and you've already been exposed, have exposure than most. So yeah. I guess, you know, that's what I'm saying. So do you think from your end, from the artist's end, do you think these shows are good for the artist?
Absolutely. The key thing is to create create an identity for yourself when you're on the show.
Okay.
Because even if you don't win, that's a platform for you to become successful as
right.
an entertainer, a musician.
Right.
It's up to that person what they do with it. And a lot
okay.
of the judges and the producers of the show really, you know, stress that. Because even if they
okay.
don't win, like, I mean, for, you know, what better example than, you know, Miss Hudson. Like, she's,
right.
you know, she's
didn't win,
phenomenal.
but took it and ran with it.
Exactly, and
right.
quite frankly, I'm probably doing better than some of the winners.
Exactly, because the only person I think that's really doing good as far as she's doing the best, I think, out of all the people who have not won, but I think the two who have done really, really well with it, period, I think right now, and I could be wrong, is Jennifer Hudson, and I can't remember the first Idol winner. What's her name? Carrie
Ooh,
Underwood.
Kelly
Clarkson. That's what I meant.
Kelly Clarkson. Yeah.
I think I think those both have just taken the ball and just like boom, just ran with it.
Yeah.
And I like the shows. I think, but because I noticed that every time when those shows are over, when you Google the names of the people who lost, you always find them either releasing an album.
Mm-hmm.
Got something going on, or they've got a fan base and they're doing something with it. So,
mm-hmm.
I think it's good for the artist. Let me ask Mikal. Did you have any questions of Mr. Jazzy Smith? I just want to know if you had any questions.
I just wanted to ask him what was like some of his biggest challenges with some of the artists that are out now. I mean, because there's a wide variety of things going on now. I mean, you got jokers wearing skirts now, man. Oh my goodness. No, I'm being real.
I know you are. I'm just laughing because you said it. You know,
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being straight real.
Right.
I'm
right.
not trying to make no jokes now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a wide variety of talent out here, but it's like, one of the things that I face looking for talent and looking at talent is to really get them to step out there on that platform. You know, they got their own hang ups already, you know, just to even get out there. It's
right.
crazy.
Well, you can address that one, Bradford. I think if you understand what he's saying, I think you can.
Well, yeah, that is a difficult question. Some you know, you have some artists that they want to maintain their own identity, and they don't want to change or adjust.
Let's call it what it is. They don't want to play the game to get what they need to get.
Right.
I guess.
And I think from the streets to the boardrooms, they need to think about what that process is. Look at Jay-Z,
mm-hmm.
look at 50 Cent, and
mm-hmm.
I think those two guys are the best example for opening up them. Even though they come from the streets, from, you know, hustling and everything, 50 Cent made money off of, he invested in vitamin water, he got his own clothing line, he's been in movies.
You
got to think about the people that you got to interact with or even audition in front of to even be considered for opportunities like that.
Right, right.
So you
right.
have to open your mind to certain ideas and cultures and thinking and be able to articulate and speak and be a businessman and even negotiate opportunities for yourself.
Okay.
You
so
know,
you can't. So sometimes you got to be a chameleon. You got to change. Because you can't. Because what I find is that in the entertainment industry, unless you're an actor, like straight actor, you have to change from what. Especially I find rappers. The make or break to me seems like once a rapper, especially with rappers, once they get to a certain point, it's almost like. And I don't want to say this, but I guess it's a silent rule. You almost kind of get too old to rap. So after a while, you have to kind of like mold and go into something else. And I mean, that's what I see. I could be wrong. You can correct me if you want to. But I just think after a while, you get to a. I mean, you can't be 50 and still keep rapping. I mean, you got to be. I mean, Jay-Z was a classic example. He still releases albums, but it's not like it was when he first did it. And now it's more of now it seems like rappers are becoming more businessmen and moguls of themselves because you really can't do it forever. I mean, and then you look at, like I said, you look at actors, and most actors, what do? They get old enough, and then what do? They go behind the camera. Even though they may still act every now and then, they go behind the camera. Now I want to produce. Now I want to throw some money behind it. Now I want to be the guy who's in the director's chair who's calling it. So it seems like in the entertainment industry as a whole, you always have to be ready to say, okay, I want to do something like this. Because I always have looked at it this way, and you guys can jump in after I say this, but the funny thing that I think is I always know when an actor has become, non-star-like or non-factor is when I see them in the cheap commercials for all the old people stuff. Like, I see them in there for, like, you know, old people's insurance, you know, reverse mortgage. I'm like, that dude used to be like really, dude? You're doing that now? And guys like, and to be honest with you, guys like a Clint Eastwood, you'll never see him in that because he's doing directing. They're still relevant. They're still doing things. They don't have to go down to that kind of level. So you guys can jump in there, but that's what I just see, like what you and Mikhail are saying is you almost have to. I know what Mikhail was saying is that, you know, a lot of guys aren't willing to switch up and do anything different, and I think you just have to be in order to stay relevant and you know, keep making money and control your own brand, your own destiny. And entertainment ain't what it used to be. When I was coming up, you did something and you did it till you just faded out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the difference today is a lot of these independent artists, they don't understand marketing. That's the whole key now, mm-hmm. you know. And that's the difference between a 50, a Jay-Z, and any of the most successful artists. It's marketing. Great marketing, because it's definitely not talent. It's definitely not talent.
and Bradford, I will let you handle that one.
No, I'm not gonna respond to that. I'm gonna be biased.
I know you're biased, but I will say this, and I agree. Let me say this. I do agree with Mikhail to a certain point, and I'll say this because it's a No Chaser show, and I'll say it, Bradford. I'll say this. I'll be honest with you. I consistently, and I know, I think maybe Jerry might agree with me about this, but I consistently, you know, for me, I find myself listening to the music I grew up on in the 70s and the 80s. You know, I even listened to rap from the you know, the 80s when it first started and things like that. I still like that.
Right.
And now for me, I just think, now this is just me, the groups and artists that we have now are less talented than the ones we had before. Because I think, like, one of the things I've always said is I think, to be honest with you, one of the most talented artists out right now, and I've always said this, has been Prince. Because he could really entertain. He could do instruments. Like, when you look back at groups like Earth, Wind & Fire, you'll never see a group like Earth, Wind & Fire again. You'll never see those kind of groups that had a crack band, a crack brass section, like really had good music and thought about what they write. Now it just seems like a person goes out and it's like, the more outrageous I am, the more vulgar my language, the more provocative I can be, I sell a whole bunch of albums. But beyond that, I don't see the people like that winning awards. I see people like a Jennifer Hudson, you know, just different people, you know, who have thought and put together, like Mikhail said, they not only market, but they put together good music. Mariah Carey's one. And it seems like that same formula has always never changed. It's good music, good lyrics, and if it's a message and it connects with your fans, you got yourself a hit and you'll keep it going. But for me, I just find that we don't have as much talent, you know, as much talented groups or singers anymore as we used to. You know, just truly, that's what I feel. I mean, I know there's some out there, but they're few and far between, and it's just hit and miss.
They're underrated. They don't get the exposure like should. You know.
And I think that goes back to
like Eric Roberson. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I've heard that name.
He's an R&B artist, you know. Like, we know how talented Lettucey is, you know. She's a great artist.
Yeah,
you know,
she's under the radar, under the radar. But
yeah,
Lettucey is real good. I mean, I've heard her album before, and I enjoyed it. And I would have actually bought that record, but, you know, there's just few and far between. I just, you know, like I said, I don't think there are any real, there are very few real entertainers, like people who come around and just, okay, you sit there, you do the sets, you sing it, you have instruments, you have everything. Now it's almost like everything is voice tracks, auto-tune, stuff like that. And I just want somebody, I like the artists that really come up with good lyrics, good beats, and just, okay, I can get with that. And I think, now this is me, and I don't know if Jerry agrees with this, and I don't know if Mikhail does, but that's what I find, and that's why I find myself always going back to the older artists and enjoying the old stuff more than I do the new stuff, you know. And every now and then I'll hear somebody good, but it's not like it used to be. Because, you know, the 70s, man, it was like a war.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, I'm going to take over the top. Okay, no, I'm going to take over the top. And it was just like you always had talent that pushed other talent, and now it just seems like you don't have that anymore, you know. So I don't know if anybody wants to jump in, but, I mean, that's what I find.
Yeah, I definitely want to jump in. I mean, I have to disagree with you, brother. There are plenty of good artists out there. The problem is that they are not either they're mostly underground, and they're not either, or they don't have the means to market. You know what I'm saying? To get up in the face as you would see as someone like an R. Kelly and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like the gentleman he was just talking about, Eric Roberson, I mean, that brother been out for like forever. You know what I'm saying? And that's why he is really, you know, kind of got like a soft, strong following, you know, him,
mm-hmm.
Sean
mm-hmm.
Patterson and folks mm-hmm. like that. But there are a gang of phenomenal artists that are just straight underground, and they are, you know, you have to look for them now.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You
have to look for them.
You know what?
To look for them now.
I'll agree with you, Mikhail. I probably stated that wrong, and I was
you don't have to. You don't have to apologize for that.
Let me say that. I agree with you, and that's because what I should have said is, the ones that are out now that are big names and stuff like that, to me, there are a lot of them
The difference, the difference is, again, it's the marketing. And it is the product of all these different things, all those different things that you're talking about with the auto tunes and stuff like that. That's why I say talent it's not even in the discussion anymore. I mean, it's not. I mean, cause I got a partner that you know, he produces all my music. He's been out here for like forever, and you know, and we was kind of having this same discussion, and he was just like, what you worried about that for? That ain't even it no more. I mean, it's like this. If you have something to bring, and you can put that, and you can put it together, and
mm-hmm.
you can make it sell or market it or whatever. That's
mm-hmm.
what's up. That's what's up. You
okay.
know, there are artists out there that are, you know, that are still putting it, you know, still putting it down, still putting it in. You may catch them at Blues Alley. You may catch somebody flowing through an open mic out here in D.C. somewhere. you know what I'm saying, or at the what they call that joint, the DC sound stage out there. You might catch some out there, but they but trust me, they are there. They are out there, but there are, like I said, and then there, you know, my thing is I see a lot. The problem I have is the when I see some of these artists that have been in the game for quite some time, and they're not marketing. You know, they don't have that hustle. You know what I'm saying? They don't have that hustle. It's like, you know, they do a track, you know what I'm saying, or do a CD or whatever, but, you know, and then go to the show and then sing and then say, you know, come buy my album. Yo, that ain't it. That ain't it. That ain't it.
Do you agree with that?
I think to some degree he's correct, but I think what has happened, the industry has been through some labor pain, so to speak, you know, because it's cultural, it's about the dollar, and when it comes to marketing and culture and about the dollar, you know, these radio stations have program directors. And the directors pretty much program your mind, so you program your mind.
Right.
They program the station, but they're really programming you and telling you what you should be listening to and what is good. Because
exactly.
you think about when you hear that song when it first come out, and you're like, I can't stand this song. I don't like this song. And keep hearing it, and then keep hearing it. And next thing you know, you humming to it in your car, and you singing in your car. That's because you've been programmed to accept that and to like that music. So evidently, the labels has the money to push this music into the radio stations. I'm not going to name names, and I'm not going to name any radio stations.
I'll name some names.
17 jams in a row.
I know who they are.
17 jams in a row.
Who they are.
17 jams in a row. Like, okay, I want to hear the same 17 songs.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
And that's why I said, but that's why I'm learning here because because I don't, see, be honest with you, I don't listen to radio much anymore. I mean, I either listen to XM Satellite if I'm in the car, in my wife's car.
Or online radio.
Mm-hmm. Right, or I don't listen to live radio anymore, or I have my iPod and I do my own thing. And a lot of it is because it's aggravating. For one, the one thing that aggravates me about radio is that it's too many ads, too many commercials. I know they have to do it, but it just, it's like, dude, do I really have to listen
to
like 15 ads before I get to my next song? You know, and it's kind of aggravating. So to me, I'm gone off the whole radio thing. But, you know, you guys are absolutely right. I'm learning something here because I didn't realize until you just heard it until Mikhail said it. I'm like, wow, that really is the truth. I was like, I had never thought of that before.
Right. And then you got to also remember, you know what I'm saying, we not buying that. We not buying music no more.
We're not buying that shit. Right.
And that's why these youngins is picking up on these different artists now. Mm-hmm. But these different artists, the people that's buying them is, you know, I'm going to say it because we on your show, is them little white kids. They buying that shit. They buying that shit.
That's true. That's true.
They buying that shit.
That's
I mean, because my youngest, they download everything off YouTube or wherever else they can get it from. Mm-hmm. Wherever else they can get it from. We ain't buying nothing here.
They don't sell albums anymore.
Like I told y'all before, I go to the barbershop with $20, come out with a cut and about 3 or 4 CDs. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They're really making their money off of concert and touring now. So,
right.
You know, they're
making it off concert and touring. But guess what? They trying to get a cut of that, too.
Yeah,
record label trying to get in a cut of that, too, Slim.
Right, that's true, too. That's true.
They getting that, too.
That's right. Because, I mean, for me, when I want to download it's not often, but when I want to download a song, I'll be honest with you, I go, and I love it now the way it is because I used to hate when I was doing things that is back when I was buying stuff in the 80s and the 90s, you had to buy the whole album to get one cut. And I was just like, why don't they have this where you can just get, I mean, they used to, it's funny how they got hip to the game. They used to have it where you would get, you could get the single when they had cassettes. Y'all remember when you could get the single? Then it's like they did away with the single and just said, you know what, this ain't working, just selling the single, because that's all they buying. So now guess what we'll do? We'll go ahead and put the song on an album, and now we take away the singles. Now you got to buy the whole album and pay the full price. And that usually pisses me off.
It's not profitable for just one song to sell one song.
Right. I understand that. But from a consumer, I don't want to buy a crappy album and there's one or two good songs on it, and I got to pay for 12. Like,
right, but see, that's what digital is cool, you know, if you buy it off iTunes, you know, because it's, you know, it's out of middlemen. You ain't got to make CD, you ain't got to make this and that. It's just a straight, you know, download or whatever. As far as them CDs, man, them single CDs and single cassettes, man, they don't cost too much, man. Cost too much.
I know, and that's why, so for me, I'll just say, you know, I mean, Brad, I don't know how you feel, but like I said, I always go on Amazon, and you know, I download it for 99 cents, and that's fine with me. So, you know, that's how I like it. I can pick and choose what I want. I don't have to buy a whole album unless I really want to. And to be honest with you, the ability to buy a whole, for me to want to buy a whole album, you got to be damn good. Because I feel very good that I can ride,
you know, like,
and say
like
a whole
people
thing.
That you know, like, or a fan of someone that, like, you've been following them for, you've had when they were just doing CDs, you want to buy that whole album now because you're a big fan, you know.
There's
and
only,
that songs that you hear it and you listen to it, and you know it's not going to get played on the radio, but, like, you know, when you play in your car, people are like, I never heard this. What? You got to buy the whole album. You should have bought the whole album.
Right, exactly. And for me, like I said, the only artist right now in my time that I buy a whole album for and I would actually pay to go see in concert is probably Prince. That's it. And that's only because for years I've been going to the concerts when I was younger. And when I went to my first one, I was living in Detroit, I was just like, man, this is a show. Like, this is a show. For like 3 hours, I get a show. I get music, I get jazz, I get rock and roll, I get R&B, I get the piano, I get the violin, I get the drums, and I'm sitting here going like, I mean, I knew who Prince was, I loved his song, but when I went to concert, I was done. I was like, man, Slim, every time he comes through to Detroit, or if I can catch him somewhere, I'm going. Because he really entertained you. And I think the two people who gave you the most at a concert was probably, I would say, Michael Jackson and Prince. I say, as far as I've seen. Now, I haven't seen everybody else, so it's not fair to me to say everybody else isn't. But for my generation, those were the two who, like, when they came out with something or they came through, that was a must-see go to concert. And even now, I mean, if Prince came through D.C., I'm there. Because it's just you just get your money's worth. And, you know. So, you know, like I said, you guys have taught me a lot tonight, a lot about the industry. And, you know, Bradford, I definitely appreciate you coming on, and I'm going to have you come on with one of your artists probably either, and I'm thinking either March or April, I'm going to have you come back on with one of your artists, and we're going to do find out who your artist is at the time, what you're up to and things like that, because I bring people back. Pretty much when they want to. What I would like to do though is offer that, you know, maybe offer that Mikhail has a great show, and he has a very big following, mostly women, and I think this would be good for you to get exposure and be able to go on there and talk to them, and he may let you bring your artist on there also, but I'll put you guys in connection. But Mikhail, tell him what. You know what your show is, and just, you know, tell them what you kind of do.
Give me that information. We're grown soul and real talk, and we have conversations about everything. We love neo soul music and stuff like that. And about that, let me help you out a little bit, Mac. You want to check out a sister named Kanya Dawes. Want to check her out. You want to check out Liv Warfield?
Wow.
He's pretty good. You need to check out a brother named Zoe. It's Z-O with an exclamation point.
Okay.
Check them three out. Hit me back, okay, and I'll give you some more.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm always, hey, look, Mikhail, trust me. I'm always looking for good, you know, R&B, soul music. That's what I like. But like you said, I just don't see it like I used to. And, you know, and it's not that I'm not looking for it or don't want to see it. It's just that's what I, it's just, you know, when I see, you know, mm-hmm, Lady Gaga and all this other, I'm just like, man.
You got
a lot of
genres to keep up with, too, so.
Oh, yeah. Know. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
you're,
yeah.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right,
it's a
Bradford.
It's an all-girl go-go band that my ex-wife was telling me about, and I was listening to the joint. I forget their name. They from D.C., not Belladonna. Man, I can't remember their name.
Jazzy
but they
might know, but I don't
Black
know.
Alley. Drop Black
yeah,
Alley.
Yeah, Black Alley. That's
Black
them.
Alley.
Oh, my God. Yo,
yeah.
You need to check them out, too, bruh.
Okay.
You need to check them out, too.
Okay.
Check them out.
I'm going to definitely check them out. But, you know, Bradley, I just really want to thank you. The hour has gone by too fast. I think I messed everything up with it. We missed that 15 minutes. But the last thing I do want to ask you is, can you tell everybody, you know, if you're on Twitter, Facebook, where you are, how to reach you,
and let me
ask you this, and the last question I'll ask you this, what does an artist, can you tell me what does an artist need to have, and I want this to be on, because when we post this link for the show, I want people to be able to re-listen to this, but what is it that artists, I would say the top three or four things that artists have to have, because artists now think all I have to do is be able to sing and I just want to be a big star and I'm hungry and whatever. But what does it take from yours as a manager of talent? What does it take for a singer or actor or whatever? What would you say are the things that they need to have when they come to somebody like you or want to get in this industry? What do they absolutely have to have for longevity and to stay in? And you can go from there.
Okay, they need to, first of all, know their industry. Study. I mean, the Internet is a good resource. Like, connect to all the blogs, connect to all the interest groups. Get as much information as you can about the area or the industry that you're trying to get in. So if you're a singer, you need to know about who the indies are, who the majors are, and know what type of record deals that you might be interested in, what genre of music, practice. Make sure you get vocal training, you have a good team behind you that's going to support you before you actually get representation.
Okay.
Also, you need determination. Like, know that you should not give up, and just because you know, it might take 100 no's before you get that one yes, but that one
Amen.
Yes might turn out to be your first $1 million deal.
There you go.
Yeah.
And would you say work and work ethic? I definitely work ethic.
Because
I think a lot of people talk and say it, but when it comes down to the lights, camera, okay, now you got to go out there and walk and hand out flyers and do all the hard work. People are like, nah, I ain't doing that.
And one thing that someone told me, it's not always about how good you are. It's about how good you are to work with.
Hey, that's a good thing to say. I like that. So how can people get in touch with you and your management, or get in touch with you? You know, if you can tell us your website, your Twitter, Facebook, whatever you have, please let us hear that now.
We're very easy to find. You can type us in any search engine, Dreamer Management. We're dreamermanagement.com. On Twitter, we are Dreamer Company, all one word, Dreamer Company.
Okay.
And then on Facebook, we are also Dreamer Company or Dreamer Management.
Okay.
So in any search engine, any browser, you can find us under Dreamer Management.
Okay.
All right. Look, I'm going to hit you up, bro.
And y'all
Your
are
name
part,
is
and
Brad.
Y'all are, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I have one last thing that I want to share with you.
No
problem. So, also on our website, if there are any artists, we're definitely looking for singers, but any artists, they go to our website, they can actually submit their material directly to us. All of our managers get it. You can upload a picture, an MP3, you can put in your bio, you can upload your resume, and also put a link into a website.
Wow.
And we get it instantly. It comes directly to our phones and to our email email addresses, directly on our website. It's called Talent Submission.
And you guys are based here in D.C. Is that correct?
Based in D.C. with presence in Chicago and Washington and Atlanta. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. I'm gonna have Jerry, if you can pass Bradford's number to Mikhail, and Mikhail will be in touch with you, Bradford, because I think you should definitely get one of your artists and get on his show and go over there.
Bring them all. Bring them all.
Because he has a really big really big following. I mean, really, that's like exposure. And anytime I have a good guest, I like to pass them on to Mikhail, because I know Mikhail will take good care of you and give you great exposure and put you out there. And you know, I'm just a stepping stone, man, but he's the big dog. He's got a good following, and mostly women. And you know, women are impulse buyers, so you know how they are. They support. If they get behind you, you pretty much got it made, brother. So definitely. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much, Matt.
No problem, man. And I'm gonna have you back. You know, one of your artists. In between time, Mikhail, you know, get in touch with him, man. I know he had an artist he wanted tonight, but I wanted to kind of focus on him and focus on what it took for him to get here and things like that. I want to give my people, I try to give them a little more insight into what does it take if you have a dream to become a manager or an artist. But, you know, I know Mikhail asked way good questions and put it on, bring the artist. I mean, he's all about community like I am and about giving people in the local area exposure. So I have no problem with you going over there, and he'll take good care of you, man. So, Jerry, again, great show. Mikhail, thank you again, man. You always add something to it. You know, I appreciate
you. Am I going to get a prediction today, Slim?
Okay, all right. Y'all want a prediction?
That's
a call.
I'm going
for Baltimore. I'm picking Baltimore because Randy Moss said that stupid statement this week about, about, you know, he's the greatest
of all
time.
Of course
you
would think it was stupid.
But it was stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mikhail, who's the best wide receiver of all time? Is it him or Jerry Rice? Tell me who it is.
First off, like I said on the other show, I don't have a problem with him saying it.
I do not have a problem with him saying it, but you know,
and he should think like that.
He should think like that. That's the key word.
He should definitely think like that. But
think
there
like
is
that.
No.
Don't
there,
say like
I
that.
I have never seen a vertical threat like Randy Moss ever in my life, ever.
Okay.
I have not seen one.
Okay.
But in terms of all round receiver, yeah, Jerry Rice is a better all around receiver, definitely, most definitely.
Okay.
But I'm gonna tell you right now, I would have a problem if I'm sitting right here and I'm trying to pick between which one I want and that was in their prime.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a hard decision. And I think I'm going to go with Randy.
Wow.
I told Black that.
Wow.
Black was like, he'll take Jerry. And I was like, I'll take Randy. And he was like, yeah, all I got to do is throw it across the middle. I was like, well, all I got to do is throw it up.
Yeah, but that's the thing that everybody misses. Everybody thinks, but see, the problem is both of you guys don't realize that to be honest with you, Jerry Rice was good vertical or in the middle.
Jerry Rice was good vertical in the middle, but he wasn't better than Randy Ball.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He wasn't better than Randy Ball.
All I'll say is this. 5 Super Bowls, every record except for one in receiving.
Two and two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Yes.
But you can't fault a guy for that, though.
No,
you
I'm
can't
not fault
a guy
it.
For that.
I'm
okay,
not
so there's no, so
I'm
don't mention the quarterback.
But,
don't mention the quarterback because there's a lot
him.
Of good.
Hold on,
because there's
I'm
a lot of good quarterbacks.
Him. Hold on,
there's a lot of good quarterbacks that throw balls to receivers that drop balls.
I'm not faulting him. I mean, five Super Bowls, right?
Right.
With two of the greatest quarterbacks ever. In one of the best put together offensive philosophies ever, you know what I'm saying? So
wow.
I'm not I'm not faulting him, but I'm looking at it. I'm just like,
okay,
go straight up.
Hey, Bradford.
We go straight up. You put Moss
yeah.
out there. You put Jerry
Bradford,
out there. I'm gonna have to go with Moss, man.
Bradford, who you pick? Who you picking for the Super Bowl?
Exactly.
Oh man, why you gonna put me on?
Well, I mean, who you picking for the Super
Ravens.
Bowl? Every guest has to pick something. Even
Ravens.
If you.
Ravens.
You said what?
Ravens.
He said Ravens. Okay.
He said the Ravens.
And who are you
okay.
picking, Mikhail? I'm going with
San Francisco.
Idiot. Oh, my God. Jim, who you picking, man?
I have to agree with my brother, Mikhail.
Well, I'm going to go with the Ravens because I think the difference between if – The difference between, I think, the Ravens is the fact that you got veterans back there who've been there, done it before, and been in pressure situations, more so than I think San Francisco is. So, not saying that that's absolute, but I'm saying I go with experience over wide-eyed bushy-tail than in any day of the week. And I just think, I mean, if they came back here next year, I'd give them the favor. But with this, you know, you can't go wrong. I mean, but in this Super Bowl, you can't go wrong. Either Randy Moss is going to have his first Super Bowl, or Ray Lewis is going to go out with a Super Bowl. So to me, it's a win-win for somebody. I mean, it's a win-win for some. I think nobody loses really in this game. I think everybody gains something. Of course, it's going to be a loser, but I think everybody comes out pretty good. But
like my man Jerry says all the time, speed kills.
Okay, that's fine. But from now on. I'm done talking to you about all-time greats. You're done. Anyway, we will see you next. Because what you just said didn't make no sense. All I heard was Charlie Brown's teacher.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, you got your opinion. I got mine. I mean, like I said, if we standing out, we picking players. I'm gonna have a hard time picking Moss or picking Jerry over Moss.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this: who's the best wide receiver in the game right now?
In the game right now? Ooh,
yep.
that's not nice. That wasn't nice. You a dirty dude, man. Just dirty, man.
Hey, Jerry, you set him up, Jerry. He was like, "No,
yeah,
you
did.
Don't do that."
Oh, man, he's a dirty dude. Oh, man. I cannot get past that grandma up in Detroit.
This dude is like, remember when the Browns couldn't say no? He couldn't say
no,
wrong? Remember
that? No, because it's a couple of dudes that I just like to see them play, and I like to see them ball. You know what I'm saying? My man out there in Chicago, he is a monster.
Okay.
He is a straight monster.
Great. Well, who's the best in the game right now?
I gotta go with that. With that one player that's up there in Michigan, you know, they ain't got but one player.
You're terrible. But that's all right. As long as you get a recognition where it's due, that's fine. You know what? You back off suspension now. I got you good now. You at least admitted when you had to. I give it to you because you could have been a real punk about it and said somebody else just to be fighting it, but you said it. I give you that. I give you credit for that. I give Mikhail big credit for that because Mikhail is good for doing that. Scooby over in Atlanta, you know, something like that.
it's some bad youngins out there.
No, it is.
It's some bad youngins. And then I really like that. I really like youngin out in Arizona, man. But he needs a quarterback bad. He needs
That's
a quarterback
true.
Like pronto.
That's true.
I like the youngin for the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
and I like that youngin over there in Atlanta. But you just can't get past. You just cannot get past Calvin Johnson. You just can't get past him. That dude is just a beast, man. He is
the scary
phenomenal.
Part is the scary part. As much as I like, and I say this, and then I will close. But I will say this: the one thing I'm scared of is that I love Jerry Rice much and all them stats and everything else. But I have to be honest. I read what Rice's comments was, and he said if he stays healthy, he said he can break every one of my records. And the scary part is I could see that, but I almost hate to see it. I'd like it for him to get it in a Lions uniform, but I kind of hate to see it go. But that,
records are meant to be broken.
I understand that, but you know how it is when you know, like anything else, man. When you got a hero that you grow up and you watch and you go like, this is my guy, this is the dude, and you watch him do what Jerry Rice does, it's hard to see those records fall. But at the same time, I'm just giving respect, just saying, you know, I think he could do it. And that's the scary part. I think he could do it. But it's been great, y'all. I appreciate it. And as we go off, I just want to thank, again, Mikal, Bradford. Sorry you got tangled up in that, but this is what we do at the end of the show with people, and sometimes we run over, but that's fine. I'll give you the link to the show, and you can post that on your network so people can go back and re-listen to the show. And we really appreciate you coming on, man, and you know, have a great time out there in California at the Grammy Awards. You know, definitely have a great time. Hope you make some good connections and bring it back to D.C. that you can help somebody else get a chance. Mikal,
right.
Love you and your show, bro. I appreciate it. Jerry, appreciate you, man. Another great week. And the last thing I'd like to say is this, and I know I'm going to hit some blowback on this, but you know what the great thing about this time of the year is? I don't have to hear any more Redskin fans talk or nothing. Shut up. See you in August. And on that note, we are out.
All right.